You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Hello, my name is Barry Alsbrook, CEO of Taken TV. Join our growing network. For more information, log on to our website at takennetwork.tv. Host your own show or be a sponsor of one of our shows.
Time for a new kitchen? Floridian Kitchens specializes in quality cabinetry, design, and craftsmanship with locally sourced products to fit your vision. We are conveniently located in Stuart and can be reached at 772-324-0998.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live: to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome.
And good morning. It is so great to have you joining us today. And we are going to have a powerful day. Have David and Karen, our staff that normally are with us. And Karen is back. Welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back.
All right. It is good to have you back. And David is here. We also have some other guests that we're going to be talking to in a little while. But we're going to start out right at the top of the hour with a phone interview with Bishop Larry Jackson. We have a very important event coming up, Bishop. So can you tell us about it?
How you doing, bro? It is a tremendous event that's coming to the area, and it is the True Value of a Woman movement. We're coming there in October the 16th at the Civic Center, and it is a movement of women that is coming together that is kingdom focused and minded, and we can't wait to come and be a part of that community because of all the great things that are taking place in Port St. Lucie and the Treasure Coast.
All right, and if for people who are wanting to get information, they can go where?
They can go to truevalueofawoman.com. Everything is on that particular site, and women can register from that site and find what's going on as well. It is a very interactive site, so they will love it, and so they can go and get all the information they need right there from that site. And it's been it's just been a tremendous thing to watch God move in the hearts and minds of women, and to understand their value place, not only from God, but also the value place they're supposed to have with man and how man should value them as well. And it is a tremendous thing that we've been able to do. And many people hear my voice and go, well, you're not a woman. But I started this movement, and there are 10 women that are working with me that are national directors, and all of them will be there at this event as well, speaking over the 12 guiding principles that we have. I've been married for 36 years, and I have 5 daughters and no son, so I know a little bit about women.
Can you share with us some of those principles?
Yes. Well, the very first principle has to do with a woman knowing that she was created to worship God. That's the very first principle, that she was created first to bring worth and worship unto God. And that was her primary piece of why she was created. And many don't even understand that, is as they look at Genesis chapter 2, they think sometimes that she was created for the man. Actually, she was created for worship. Then the next thing is that we've got to learn how to work beyond racial and denominational barriers. We've got to break down all of that foolishness that's in the body of Christ, and women can work to do that, committed to reach beyond the racial and denominational boundaries. And then number three is that it's a position of a woman that understands that she's a helpmeet with her husband, that her and her husband, if they are married, now can do things that they never could do apart together, that it's going to be life-changing in the earth. And so the principle four has to do with holiness, understanding that you were designed as a holy vessel unto the Lord, and that she is to walk in that place of holiness and understanding. Principle five has to do with recovering women out of the place of hurt. There are a lot of women that have gone through a lot of hurt in their lives and a lot of damage in and outside of the church, and those places got to be recovered so that they can be free and be flowers to blossom in the way that God has designed for them to blossom. Principle six is really what this thing really started off of, and it is this understanding that a woman was created, but she was not created from dirt. And that is an amazing, therefore, she should never be treated like dirt, and she should never act like dirt. And that is an amazing principle in the sense that she is not associated with dirt in any way. The man was created from the dust, but she was created from him. And so, therefore, she should not be associated with dirt at all, because God valued her at that place, man. He valued her to not even go back down and deal with dirt in the creation of her. Principle seven is the understanding the need for community involvement, that women function in the community and work in the community, business and civic and all of that, and working in business involvement. And matter of fact, the national director over that is a councilwoman out of Detroit, Michigan, and so she understands community involvement. And number eight is understanding monetary resources. How you remember Proverbs 31, that the woman understood Proverbs in 31, she understood how to now provide for her household. So monetary resources, how to advance in business, how to handle money, all of those kinds of things. That's eight. Nine is a valued woman loves men for their ability and strength. We're not an organization that hate on men. We can't, because I'm the one that started it. So you can't hate men if I'm the one that started it. So
thank you, Bishop. There's a few of us guys still out here, you know.
That's right, and we need our women to understand who we are. But not from, you know, just to understand that how to help him. Matter of fact, I teach women in this meeting how to move the heart of a man for real, not how to gloss over it, but how to truly move his heart. And it is a principle. It's a tremendous principle in that. And it's not because you feed him some good food either. I promise you that. It's far more than that. But principle 10 is a valued woman helps to mold and guide her children into greatness. And so hear this principle. Our children are under attack, and we deal with how to now help our women, help our children get to the next place in their lives. Principle 11 is a valued woman concerned about and involved with women's suffrage around the world. So we know human trafficking and all of those kinds of things, and the suffrage that women have gone through, and religious systems and all of that needs to be spoken to, and who better to speak to it than women. And then principle 12 has to do with a woman's committed to prayer, study, and obedience to the word of God. And so those are the 12 principles, and we deal with each one of them at this event. It is an amazing event. It is exciting. It is so exciting I'm telling you, I just told you that there are 11 speakers. So you know, it's not boring. We don't have a time for being boring. It is an amazing time. So I'm praying and I'm hoping that women that are hearing me will go to truevalueofawoman.com and begin to register.
So this is a one-day event coming up on October the 16th, and it is not too early to register, is it?
They can register right now. It's open for registration. Group registrations as well. We've got a discount for group registrations, and so they can go to the site, and when they go to truevalueofawoman.com, they can actually register right there for and take care of everything and their needs. We're also going to feed them that day, man. We're going to be giving them lunch for their registration costs and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be a really good day.
Fantastic. I know my wife is interested in being a part of that. And so I trust that all across the Treasure Coast of Florida, up and down the state, that no distance is too far to travel to be a part of this. Now, people will be coming in from many states, right?
Oh, wow. Yes. They're women because of the movement. It is not, and we tell people, we're not a ministry. We're not against ministry, but we're not in competition with ministry. So the ministry that's going on in the area, you don't have to worry about us. We're not competing with you. We're going to enhance what you do at best as we can. But there are women that are part of this movement that will be coming from as far away as Michigan, Chicago, California, Colorado. They're already registering to come to Florida to be a part of this thing.
Excellent.
Naturally, North Carolina, where we are, and they're just coming. So we're excited about it.
Excellent. Well, we are excited as well. We have been blessed by your ministry on the Treasure Coast at other events, and we know that that God is looking to raise the level of spiritual activity here on our coast, and we're interested in being a part of that. So, Bishop, one more time, give us the webpage and that information so people know where to go to register, and I know you'll be joining us again as we move closer toward the date.
Yeah, truevalueofawoman.com. is the site. They can go there, they can see who we are, they can see the national directors and all of that. They can register right there on that page individually or group. Again, we're really excited. And as you mentioned, you know, I was there with a men's event almost a year ago now. Over 500 men showed up.
That's right.
And I would say to those men, they remember BAM. Most of the men that were there remember BAM. And by a mile. And so we will ask those men to send their women to this event, because they will come back home very excited. And I think that the two now can advance the house together.
Amen. Well, my good friend, Bishop Larry Jackson, bless you. Thank you for joining us today. And we'll look to stay in touch in the days to come. Have
yes,
a great
sir.
Day
bless
in
you.
Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank
goodbye.
You, sir. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Well, we just had a great time chatting with Bishop Jackson, a great brother, strong leader, and he is a part of the body of Christ, and we're excited to be a part with him. And so we want to move along today. We do have some other guests in the studio, David.
Well, we certainly do.
I'm trying to hear everybody speaking here today. Yeah, let's
okay.
see.
Okay, can you...
yeah, you're.
It sounds like I'm on now. Yeah.
Well, a little bit. Yeah, you're
bit.
Coming in now. Okay.
Okay. Excellent.
All right. Did you have any reports to give? If we have something of neighborhood interest, I mean, mail.
Yes.
What do we have here, Karen? You have something as well, and then we're gonna get to our authors in just a moment.
This is just a reminder that the Map Road ribbon cutting was rescheduled from last Saturday to the 28th. Of this month because of the weather issues, but that's we're on Map Road, as you know, and the they've done a lot of work here. If you tried to get to the station some days, you may have noticed you couldn't because of all the stuff, but it's now almost done. They're going to have the ribbon cutting. I think it's from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. and I think they're gathering at the fire station, which is about halfway down Map.
Yep.
For that, and we're going to have a table there. Some of the
we
staff
will.
Is going to be there.
Yes.
And we would invite all the folks in Map City, right? Palm City. They haven't changed the name of the town yet, to come and celebrate that.
And even Martin County.
Because
this is a Martin County event.
It is a Martin County event.
Pop over the bridge. Great event for you and your family. It's a family event. Come on out. I understand there's going to be some face painting and different things going on. I know we have a goodie bag, so make sure you come to the WCNO table.
Yes.
We have some goodies for your kids, and so you're going to want to come and pick those goodies up, and maybe some goodies for grown-up as well. I think we have some water. Maybe a little warm on Saturday. We'll see what's happening. But thank God, Fred is not a part of this.
Fred has
event.
Gone on.
Fred has.
He's gonna.
Fred has gone on.
Yeah,
so that is part of our history. We have two authors in the studio this morning, and I have to tell both of you that I do not read novels, but I read your novels. I say I don't read novels. I haven't really read. I cannot even remember when I read a novel prior to these two, and I'm not sure, but I want to welcome Kathleen Barrett, Ladies First, and her book, For the Love of Big Beluga. And I think you had good cause to question whether this day would ever come. Let's pull the mic up so we can hear from Kathleen here.
I sure did.
Let's make sure we get your mic on. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I sure did, because we met, or actually I met your
Sherry.
Assistant, Sherry, mm-hmm. Yeah, at an expo last August, and she said, this is what we do, and I gave her a copy of the book, and didn't hear from anyone until about a month ago, and you invited me here to talk about For the Love of Big Beluga, and I'm glad for this day. This is the day the Lord has made.
Amen. Amen. So this is Kathleen Barrett, and she is an author. She's written some other books as well?
Yes, that's correct.
What are some of the other books you've written?
I've written Jubilee Journal. That was back in 2002.
Okay.
And that's a children's devotional. It's not available right now, but I am working on getting it. Another edition
available, mm-hmm.
And then Israel God's Heart I co-authored with Israeli aerial photographer Ron Gaffney, and that book sold out just recently. And again, we're gauging interest on images and narratives for that book. So,
and I have one right here, and I can't wait to get into it. I love Israel. Been there many, many times on tours and study trips and such forth, and so I'm very excited to see if I can find a few places I called home. In Israel, I really felt like I was home. Well, that is really excellent. And so the book was handed to me, Kathleen, and I looked at it, and I said, I really don't read novels. What is this about? You know? And then she said, well, this is a local author that's in the Treasure Coast area, and I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. And so I recently had a trip out of town a few days away, and I decided now I've cleared some other stuff out, I'm going to get into this book. And I got into the book, and I couldn't put it down. I read the whole book, and we're going to, if it's okay with you, I'd like to talk about some of the points in the book that I believe are really important. What would you like to say about the book first?
Well,
how did you come to write it?
That's an interesting story, because it was 30 years in the making.
This story is 30 years.
Because it was an incident, several incidences that occurred in where we used to live in Palm Beach Gardens, with an actual dog that was abused. And from that, the love of Josh, which was his original name, just the love for that dog, and the storyline grew over the years. And then last year, with the pandemic and all, my husband kept on asking me, when are you going to finish Big Beluga? When are you going to finish Big Beluga? So I thought, this is the time. And it's just like, the Lord gave me the energy and the words, and it all came together last year, which was exciting. So it is filled with lots of different messages, as you know.
It is.
For children, but also...
What's the age group?
8 to 12 year olds.
8 to 12.
But I'm finding that a lot of young at heart adults are loving the book.
This is a great book for a family that may have devotions or something. I think, and I trust many of you have those if you have young children. So important. Great book.
Thank you.
So it's written to target again children eight to twelve years old. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Maybe even a little.
Maybe that's why I could understand it so well. Listen, I have to just bring some of these things out because I know you. I don't want to let the story get out because once you get into it, you're going to be captivated by it. And it, and you're a Christian lady.
I am.
And without apology.
Without apology.
You're definitely a
born again
Christian.
Spirit-filled,
you know? Born again. You see, I see all of that in the book.
Uh-huh.
All of that comes through in your writing.
Thank you.
And what I really like about this is it speaks of the importance of family, faith, and friends.
And forgiveness.
Forgiveness. That I haven't got to that, but forgiveness.
I'm sorry.
Forgiveness is in here.
Yes.
But the importance of family. What a Christian family looks like. How it functions. How dinner happens. How praying together happens. All of these topics are in this book, and these are things that really, as families, I know you say, "Well, I take my kids to church and such forth." But this is an opportunity to interact in a family setting and to discuss these kinds of issues as a mom or dad. You may say, I'm not sure how to approach some of these things because maybe your children's in a private school, maybe they're homeschooled, maybe they're in a secular educational environment. But family, faith, and bringing faith into all of the aspects of life is so important. And you do it in an awesome way. Children and devotions. And I see some looking through the window, which I love. I love. Those. Hopefully they can hear out here. They're probably listening.
Those are my twin granddaughters.
What are their names?
The biggest
first
critics.
Name.
Abby and uh-huh. Livy.
Abby and Livy.
Yes.
What an awesome thing to have them here at the studio today.
Thank you.
But devotions, the spiritual life and journey of a child, and this book encourages that.
Absolutely.
And talks about how that can happen in a Christian family, and that's really important. I also saw respect for authority.
Oh, yes.
That's in the book, and it's woven through the book, and that's something we're missing today, and so that's something I could see is really important. Passion for finding your gift and developing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I saw this in the life of the young lady,
Meg.
Meg, uh-huh. That's in the book.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't even going to give her name because I really know that people will be blessed to read this. But her passion, she has some insight into the direction she's going to target in life and how she develops that and how her family encourages her in that. And the scripture says, train up a child in the way they are to go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. So I see discipline in the book.
Yes.
I see correction in the book. And I see all of this being woven with a biblically balanced storyline. And it really is awesome. Witnessing.
Yes.
Children witnessing.
Yes.
Children witnessing to grown-ups that are rather reprobate, I might say, in the book. And, of course, prayer and the importance of prayer. Those were some of the things I found in the Big Beluga.
I'm so excited that you picked out those particular qualities in the book because it's got a message. And it's an easy read. It's from the perspective of an 11-year-old.
Yes, it is.
And they are all about, you know, this age, just exploring the world and finding their powerful purpose in the world. And I'm glad that you saw that.
Those things
in the book. It just
it's a great book.
Blesses my heart. Yeah.
It's a great book. Now,
thank
I'm going to come back to you, but I'm going to jump to our next author.
Yes, please.
Who is also a longtime friend of mine. And his father has has been kind enough to be friendly toward me for a lot of years, going all the way back to high school and college.
Oh, wow.
Eric, welcome. Eric Addison.
Yes.
Welcome. We're glad to have you with us today, and I have a book that's Yeshua's Thief.
Yep, Yeshua's Thief.
Tell us, where did this book come from?
Well,
is this your first?
This is my first published novel. I've written my whole life, and I've always been sort of trepidatious about publishing, just because I don't know if it's insecurity or what it was, but I knew I wanted to get better at storytelling, because if I wrote a nonfiction book, it'd be me telling you what to do, and I can come off as really bossy doing that, or I could read, or I could just make stuff up, which is what I'm really good at anyway. So, I was for a while at our church. I was the tech arts director, which I'm still the tech director, and I do some art for the church. But we did plays, and I couldn't find a really good passion play that really did something unique.
Okay,
and I remember I'm like, I'm having to get this together, and I'm trying to figure out what we're going to do. So I was driving home, or not driving home, but driving to some property our family has in Alabama from here, and our kids were a little bit younger, not a whole lot younger, but a little bit younger. So we used to like to travel at night, and so it was just a long, desolate drive. And started just mulling ideas over in my head. And I'd been a youth pastor for, you know, umpteen dozen years. And one of the things that, as a youth pastor, I could look out over our youth group, and all of our kids were really great kids, but I could always tell if they had a really good father. If they had a good father, they were a lot more secure in who they were. They were able to interact really well. They were able to just deal with life on a whole different level. And the ones that didn't, a lot of them ended up really great, and they're some of the best adults that I know today, but they started off at a different place.
Yeah.
And so
had struggles.
And struggles.
They had struggles.
And
in
so
their life. Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to do with this book, or with the play, was come from a perspective of the cross through the eyes of a broken family. And I started going through different little characters that are a part of that whole story. Everyone's done something on the woman at the well. People have done, but very few people have done something from the thief on the cross's perspective. And I started thinking about him. And I was like, well, he knew who Jesus was, so he obviously knew.
True.
Knew enough about him. He most likely was Hebrew. Given the political climate of the day, one of the ways that the zealots would disrupt the Romans was through thievery. They would, you know, they would steal things, and so that kind of became a part of the book. But the biggest thing was, is he must have had a family. Whether that family was whole or if it was broken, something happened, and he must have had a family. We don't know anything about him other than one moment in history. So the book is really about his son, Ezekiel. And Ezekiel longs for a relationship with his father. And when Ezekiel's 15 years old, his father shows up and hands him this really ornate dagger. It's some of the finest craftsmanship he'd ever seen. It's the most valuable thing he's ever held in his hands. And he tells him to bury it, hide it, and I'm going to come back for it at a later time. Well, years and years go by, and he falls in love with this girl, Rena, and he wants to build a life for her. So basically what he does, he takes this, he thinks his father's dead, so he goes into town and he sells the dagger for the money to build 3 fishing boats. And the story kind of intersects with a lot of the things that happen in the New Testament.
Don't tell the full plot now.
I can't.
This is so interesting.
So basically it's his journey and look at the cross, and his father's one of the thieves.
Could I quote a one line?
You sure can.
Because I read every line.
Okay.
His whole life has been fighting. He has been fighting, trying to overcome the stigma of being the son of a thief.
Mm. Yep. And there's a whole lot of us that we have people in our family or whatever, or, you know, I grew up adopted, so there was sort of that kind of stigma of being adopted, and, you know, in grade school kids.
Baggage.
Yeah, and so there's grade school kids are, you know, just so nice to you when they find these things out about you.
Yeah, right.
And but there's a lot of struggles that a lot of people have. Yeah. We don't always know, looking at people, what struggles they have.
Yeah.
And one of the things that a novelist is supposed to do is take you on a journey with these characters, and hopefully as the characters learn something, you learn something. The novel's not preachy. I don't think anyone could ever say that it's preachy. But the idea was to make this as human as possible, and then also learn a little bit about the culture of the day as well, so that the Bible, when we read it now, can maybe come alive because we learned some of the cultural things that are kind of woven into the story as well.
Right. Well, it is a well-written book that again, grabs your attention. Now, what age group is this written toward? It's not a children's
book. It's not a children's book. I would feel comfortable with my son reading it when he was 13 and above. And it's not because there's anything really explicit in it.
No.
It's just that there are some themes that are hinted at that might cause certain questions that you may or may not be ready for yet. Because there are some things culturally that they did with marriage and stuff like that that just might be a little bit more than what you might be comfortable as a parent giving it to your 8-year-old.
Yeah, sure.
Now, my daughter is 10, and I'm not letting her read it until she's at least 13 or 14.
Okay. But it's, you know, it's the kind of book that it addresses whatever baggage you have in your family.
Yeah,
God has actually a plan to bring healing to all of that baggage.
Absolutely.
And forgiveness is a, I know we mentioned this, Kathleen, with you in the Big Beluga as well, that forgiveness is in there.
It's a huge
and
theme.
And this is a huge theme that threads its way through the story, and it once you start reading it, you're not going to want to put it down. And I understand there are going to be more to come.
There's going to be more to come. I mean, it's also designed to be able to give to somebody who's on the fence.
Yep.
And so if you know somebody who's on the fence, hand them the book. And what it is, if they go on that journey through this, there's a QR code at the end where if they use their phone on that QR code, it gives the plan of salvation. And a really good friend of mine, Stan Coleman, who used to be a pastor here in South Florida, does a really good job of just laying it out very clearly, the plan of salvation, right at the end of the book.
Yeah, it's tremendous. Yeah. It's tremendous. So what we're actually saying, you're actually saying, and the book says, it presents the gospel in a readable way that even an unbeliever could come to grasp the storyline and could actually live in it. And we were talking about being in Israel. I've been in Israel several times. And as I was reading the book, I was taken back to the Galilee. I was taken back to the many mornings I've had sitting up, looking down on the Sea of Galilee from the mountains surrounding and listening to a lone fishing boat heading out, you know, to go fishing. And, you know, and just it carries you through the land. There's some history there. There's a lot of good stuff. And so this book is going to be available when?
Well, okay, the ebook on Kindle, Nook, all of the ebook sites is available now. You can get it right now.
Okay, all right. And the title again?
The title is Yeshua's Thief.
By?
By R.E. Addison, Richard Eric Addison.
Okay.
That's me. And then the print version is going to be available November 2nd. It officially releases at that point.
Awesome. Awesome. So, Kathleen Barrett, how can people find For the Love of Big Beluga?
Well,
kid's book, children's book.
They could go to my website, which is KathyBarrettWrites.com.
Okay.
Or they can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, any of their favorite bookstores, and by ordering, they can get Big Beluga. Amazon is having a great sale right now.
Okay.
They make great stocking stuffers.
Sure.
Gifts, as I say, for the middle grade reader or for the young at heart adult.
It's tremendous. We're kind of running out of time for this segment, but Kathleen, I was intrigued by the artist that drew the picture on the front. Do you think it's possible maybe in the future we can get her on the phone and actually do a bit of a live interview? Would you be willing to consider coming back?
I will ask her mother.
Okay.
They live in Pennsylvania.
Sure.
But yes, I don't want to leave out Phoebe because can I tell her a little, little bit of her story?
Yeah, we just have like a minute.
Phoebe is about 16, probably 17 years old now. She is legally blind from birth with, goodness, my mind's drawing a blank, but she's legally blind.
Mm-hmm.
She was adopted, but her adopted parents found out that she loved art, and so they just poured out all their heart and their resources for her to be an artist. The picture on the front of the book took her 13 hours to draw, to sketch.
Wow.
It's a pencil sketch. And she would be within 6 inches of the drawing. She did that from a picture of a photograph of a dog that I sent her.
Wow.
A remarkable young lady. And I'll check with her mom to see if she would be available to
And what about this? If you look closely, you will find reflected in the dog's eyes a silhouette of the girl Josh longed to meet.
Mm-hmm. That was Phoebe's idea, and she sketched the outline of a girl in the dog's eyes.
In the dog's eyes.
You really have to look closely.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
But that was her interpretation of Beluga meeting Meg.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
Two authors from the Treasure Coast, both of you have done an amazing thing, and I will want to have you come back, because we have other people who have their gifts hidden someplace, and you just may think, I'm just not good enough, but unwrap the gift God has given you.
Absolutely.
And let's get it out. And one more time, Eric, how can people get a hold of your book?
Any of the bookseller sites.
Okay.
You can request it at bookstores when it comes out.
Okay.
Right now, it's on all of the ebook sites, Google Books, all of it.
Okay.
Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble, Nook, all of those. And you can find it there.
Good deal. And you can stick in the studio here for a couple moments if you like. But we have guests that have just snuck in on us, Ma and Paul. Ma has not been around for a while, and so we are looking forward to hearing what they have to share with us. Well, many of our listeners, you who are in our family, know that Ma and Paul have not been as regular in their visits to the station as of late. This is because Ma became a victim of the coronavirus. Paul stayed home to care for her. Fortunately, their doctor is a smart and godly man, and he was willing to prescribe the symptom management drugs which have saved many lives, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And even though Ma's symptoms were not severe, she was physically depleted of the energy she has always enjoyed. Paul, who did not exhibit any symptoms, had to take on most of her chores as well as his own. It was an additional godsend that their doctor prescribed the same drug protocol for Paul as a preventative. By God's grace, Ma has been improving every day. In fact, she has been gaining strength, and both she and Paul are able to visit with us in the studio today. They have gained some vital spiritual insights we believe will edify God's people about the posture he's calling us to have concerning this horrible pandemic. So, Ma, let me ask you, how are you feeling today?
Well, Jonathan, I can't say I'm back to my absolute best. I'm a ways from that. But thanks to God, I'm out of my bed walking, getting better, and getting back to my chores.
That's a good sign. Now, I've just mentioned the drugs your doctor prescribed for you. Do you believe they helped improve your situation while your body was fighting that virus?
I sure do. But let's not forget that any improvement what comes to a person when they're sick is a direct work of God's Holy Spirit.
Amen. And Paul, tell us a bit about what you've been going through over these last couple of weeks.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't believe I ever worked as hard as I've done in the last 2 weeks. Between Ma's chores and mine, I've been running around the farm like a politician looking for an alibi. But the thing what I really got busy with was with prayer.
I know you and Ma are both prayer warriors. But now you have Ma sick with a virus that's killed millions of people all over the world. What did the Lord do to strengthen your prayer for Ma?
Well, Jonathan, when Ma was first diagnosed, I was just stunned. You know, the thought I might lose Ma got me kind of anxious. Then, when I got my knees down on the ground for prayer, I just couldn't focus. It was like my mind was a pinball bouncing around. But the Lord cut through all that. He reminded me old Peter. You know that story from Matthew 14 where Jesus is walking on the water in the middle of the night and there's a big old storm and the disciples are rowing for all day's worth to get to shore. And when they see Jesus, old Peter asked for an invite from Jesus so he could walk on the water to him.
Yeah, and then old Peter jumps out of the boat and starts walking on the water. But then the screaming of the wind and the crashing of the waves gets his attention. And he takes his eyes off of Jesus, and he starts going under.
Oh, that's it, Ma. The Lord knows I love you so much. And when we love someone and they get real sick or hurt in some way, we get a fear of losing them. Well, that's natural. But we ain't doing them any favors by getting stuck on that fear.
Sounds like this was a pivotal moment for you, Paul. God gave you something that delivered you from that confusion.
Oh, he truly did. You know, being confused, I had taken my eyes off of Jesus. It's that simple, Jonathan. When Ma got sick, I'd done just like Peter. Well, I jumped out of the boat and started walking toward him. But I saw Ma all weak and such, trying to breathe and moaning in pain. And the sight of her suffering switched my view from the supernatural to the natural.
Yeah, and when the doctor gave me the news that I tested positive, I could see Pa was getting overcome with anxiety. Why, on the way home, he nearly drove off the road a couple of times because he was looking over at me and not on the road.
Yeah, that's true for sure. I know it sounds kind of odd, but I just wanted to make sure she was still breathing.
That's understandable, Paul. I've done that myself. But getting back to what God revealed to you, it sounds to me like there's more to what he gave you than you've shared thus far.
Well, that is so, Jonathan. While he got me to focus back on him, and to lift up Ma in prayer with the bedrock belief that she was already healed.
Amen, Pa. Sorry for interrupting you, but I just got to say, when I knew Pa was praying for me, and I mean really in the spirit, I had God's peace fall all over me, and I knew he had me. I got to admit, I was kind of afraid there for a little bit, till the Lord moved in such a way that he brung me his assurance.
So you both received a powerful revelation from the Lord.
Oh, sure did, Jonathan. But there's a deeper part of that you asked me about earlier. It wasn't just about faith and just about believing God for Ma's healing. It was a lot bigger than that. Why, when I saw that little bit of fear Ma had walloped by the Spirit, got me to ramp up my prayer for everyone who can't see Jesus because of the spirit of fear.
Now, Jonathan, I got to jump in here to agree with Pa.
She's good at that, by the way, Jonathan. She jumps in a lot. You
know, yes, I do. I sure do. And, you know, when God's peace came upon me, I knew in my heart that I'd let the spirit of fear come near. I repented and then told that old nasty spirit to be gone in the name of Jesus.
You both hit on a major issue. The spirit of fear is on a rampage in the world today without question.
Oh, it sure is, Jonathan. And it ain't no different from when Peter took his eyes off in Jesus. Well, this here pandemic is a storm. It's got its own kind of wind and waves, and they're monstrous. But Jesus promises to always be there for us. He never leaves us. The real issue is, what are we looking at when we're in the storm?
For sure, Pa. All this has hurt my heart for those who don't believe in Jesus. Pa and I got Jesus, even though we did look away into the storm for a minute. But what about those folks that ain't been willing to invite Jesus into their hearts?
Oh, it's like that time I drove my old pickup into the swamp to do some frog gigging. Well, I was so intent on finding just the right spot to start, I drove off the dirt road and into some quicksand.
Quicksand? Paul, you never told me this story.
Well, Jonathan, it's kind of embarrassing, you know, being a feller and all. We're not supposed to do stuff like that. And I got out okay, obviously, because I'm here today. But that truck sunk down into that quicksand pit and disappeared.
I see what you mean, Paul. If Peter didn't know he could look to Jesus and be saved, he would have sunk all the way down as well, conquered by the storm.
That's why what God showed us is so important, Jonathan. Because God's people got to get into serious prayer for the lost. This is real spiritual warfare.
Amen, Ma. Why, the folks what ain't got a spiritual relationship with God need to see Jesus right there in front of them with his hand out to pull them up and save them.
You know, I'm really sorry that you were sick, Ma, but when I hear what God did in you and through you and Paul because of it, I'm very grateful. I'm inspired to pray even more earnestly for the unsaved, to see the Lord Jesus with his hand reaching out to them, if only they would grasp it.
Amen. And I got to give witness to God's healing power. And I'm almost back 100%.
She sure is. I got to give back more of her chores to her, you know. I got to tell you, Jonathan, for a while I was cutting corners on quality just to keep everything running at the farm. Why, most of my hens is plumb upset with me. I had to cut back to fluffing up their nest every 3 days instead of every day. Yeah, I set the goats loose out on the lawn because they didn't have time to mow. Why, I even had a thought I might could teach the cows how to milk themselves.
Well, I would have loved to see that, Pa.
I would have been doomed to failure for sure. But, you know, that shows you just how frantic it was for me while you were sick.
Frantic is a good word for it, Pa. In fact, that explains why all our dishes got broke.
Got broke? What do you mean? I put them all in the dishwasher real proper and all.
Well, no, you didn't, Pa. You put them in the clothes washer, and the final spin done busted them up real good.
Uh-oh. Sorry, Ma. I guess that means a trip to the dollar store.
Well, while Ma and Pa get ready to resupply their crockery, I hope the spiritual journey they've just shared with us has been edifying to you as well. If the current storms of life have got you sinking, would you turn to Jesus and take the hand he's offering you? Then you will find that the spirit of fear has no power in the presence of the living God.
The Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is a growing association of leaders from the business, civic, and ministry areas on the Treasure Coast of Florida. In these blessed communities, we reside, work, play, and pray together. Our mission is to encourage strong relationships among God's people through Holy Spirit-anointed fellowship. Leaders inspired to overcome barriers to Christian unity bring God's people together on the common ground of the gospel. For more information, visit us online at tccalliance.com or reach us at 772-324-9313.
All right, we're continuing. This is Wednesday Live, WCNO in Palm City, Florida. And so glad that you are joining us today. We're trying to get all of our wires properly connected. And it is right now about 11:47, and I'm hopeful that I have some of the team that work with Dr. Crandall. Who do I have on the line with me?
Oh, Jonathan, we got the full team right now. We
praise
Todd
God.
Shoemaker.
Hi, Todd.
Todd Shoemaker. We've got Doc Crandall.
Awesome.
Dr. Crandall's on the line. And we even have Glenda Rambo, a little bonus.
Fantastic.
Along with myself, sympathetic. So we're excited to be joining you here today, Jonathan.
All right. Well, we have about 13 minutes. Let's get started. Tell the people what's going on. We've been playing the ad, so I know people are hearing those in reference to the prayer event that's coming up. Tell us what's happening, and Doctor, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead, Doc.
I'll let him do the introduction, Jonathan, okay?
Okay, good.
Yeah, that'd be great. So Jonathan, you know, last week we were getting ready to do, we've got all of our team kind of ready in position to do stuff, and this is what God showed us. I want you to take positions outside of these hospitals. I want you to begin to pray for the people of South Florida. And so on this Friday and Saturday, from 6 to 9 p.m., we've got teams of people that are heading out to the hospitals. So far, we're at Jupiter Hospital, Gardens Hospital. We're going to be down at Good Sam, and we're going to be at St. Mary's. And it looks like we've got even a group now that's forming for JFK Hospital.
Praise
and
God.
Our goal is to, just to pray for those who are on the inside. We've got cards that are basically text prayer to 855-932-3081.
Now, let's give that again. Give that again a little slower.
So, hey, text the word prayer to 855-932-3081. 855-932-3081. 3081. And we're encouraging people, if you know someone that's in the hospital, if you know somebody that's sick at home, they need prayer. This is the moment. They can start texting in right now. Our teams are standing by to pray for every need that comes in. And 6 to 9 on Friday and Saturday night, we're going to be outside these hospitals, raising our hands, praying over the hospitals, praying over the healthcare workers, being hope ambassadors inside, outside these hospitals for those who are going in. And we want to stand in the gap of the body of Christ here, and we want to step up to the plate and say, hey, we believe that prayer is the most powerful weapon that we have right now against this terrible event. So that's what's going on. We will be live on Saturday night, also online, and people can get all of that information. Again, healingencounternights.com is a great way to connect with that. But we're going to be on Facebook Live. Everybody can join us. It's going to be fantastic. So, Doc, give us a little bit on how you're feeling about what's going on right now.
Well, Jonathan, you know, the situation is this. You know, I've been in medicine for 40 years, and we've never seen anything like this COVID problem that we're having now. At no time have the hospitals been full. At no time have we seen the hospitals locked down. And throughout those 40 years of medicine, especially for me, I've never seen it at a time where we prevent the families and the ministry from coming into the hospital to pray for people. But we're at that point right now. This is a critical turn for the body of Christ. We need to arise. We need to pray. We need to invite the Holy Spirit into this situation with us. And I believe, Jonathan, we're going to see a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And we are going to see miracles, signs, and wonders as we enter the battlefield to pray for those that are sick, those that are dying, those that are separated from all family, all ministry that are in the hospital. Do you know that the hospitals will not even allow the ministry teams to come in and pray for the people because of the lockdown? The hospitals will not allow the families to come in.
Right.
But we've decided that we're going to take a stand, and a stand that the church is not taking, in fact. I will tell you that the church at this point is very weak. I know no one that is doing this, no one that is praying for the sick in the hospital like we're going to do this weekend. So I want everyone to get involved. I want everyone to pray that's listening, all your listeners, if they could intercede for those that are sick, those that are dying of COVID, even the doctors, the nurses, those that are working in the hospital, all these people are exhausted. They're even depressed, and they're distraught. So we need to pray for them as well. But the Lord will show up. He's given us the Holy Spirit, and we can do the work with our hands and our voices and our feet. But the Holy Spirit that we call in will go out in the name of Jesus and will touch the people in these hospitals. And I believe we're going to see the beginning of a revival in West Palm Beach like we've never seen before. God is moving, and he's calling his men and his women, his sons and daughters, to pray and seek him. And if we cry on the name of Jesus for his mercy, he will come, he will show up, and he will do the work for us. So it's going to be a big day, a big 2 days, in fact, Friday night, Saturday night. But we need the help of the listeners. And if they know someone that's sick in the hospital, please contact them and let them know that they have a friend, a believer in Christ, one full of the Holy Spirit, that will be praying for them, and we will win this battle, I guarantee.
Amen. Amen. Well, Doctor, I would like you to just pray over our listening audience today. And as you said, there may not be in a listener's local church an opportunity to connect in this way, but this is your opportunity to connect. This is available for the entirety of the body of Christ. This is how you can be a part of the solution. And pastors, you can come out. I pray there are a lot of pastors involved, ministry leaders. Get involved, lead your people to prayer, and let's believe God and see God bring a breakthrough. This is really tremendous. It's tremendous. So, Doctor, if you would pray over our listening audience, that would be awesome.
Well, let me just quickly pray, and maybe I'd have Glenda pray, too. She's a mighty prayer warrior.
Amen.
But in the mighty name of Jesus, all those that are listening, the Lord loves you. He wants you well. He wants you healed. He wants to have a relationship with you.
Thank
even
you,
right now, if you're far from God, yeah. If you call on the name of Jesus, he will come to you. But right now, we as the body of Christ want to pray for those that are sick, those that are sick and dying in critical care, those that the doctors have given hope, have given up hope. We want to cry out for their lives. Lord Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray, Lord, that you would go to those that are sick, those that are in need, those that are in ICU, that are dying, those that are separated from their family and church. Right now, you would go to them, and you would heal them and deliver them from this infirmity. And I speak life over each one in the hospital, Lord. I pray for every doctor, every nurse, every technician, every worker in the hospital, Lord Father, that you would protect them as well. You would keep them whole, Lord Father, that you would remove any depression, that you would give them new energy and a new spirit inside them, the spirit of the Holy Spirit, Lord Father.
Thank you,
that
Jesus.
They would be lifted up, Lord, that they
thank
would have
Jesus.
Power inside them, that you would remove all the fatigue from them and give them new energy to keep
Amen.
Going, keep going, and not to give up, not to give up on our people that are sick.
Thank
so, Father
Jesus.
God, we thank you that you will be with us this weekend, and I pray for everyone listening, please intercede with us. I beg you to do that. I beg you to even drop to your knees now and call on Jesus and call on his mercy to be with these prayer lawyers this Friday and Saturday night. Partner
Amen.
With us. We need you. God needs you. These people need you. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And Doctor, you were suggesting maybe Glenda could lead on in.
Yeah, she's powerful.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Glenda. Let's go ahead.
Lord, we just thank you. This virus did not take you by surprise. You said your gospel, the gates of hell, would not prevail the church. And we are the church, and the army of God is rising up to go into these hospitals to get the gospel out, to raise these people from the dead. And Lord, we know this. Dr. Crandall did not just think this up yesterday. He has had people in front of these hospitals for a year on a smaller scale. And Lord, all you're doing is breathing on this vision that he has, and you're multiplying, and you're calling for it, and you're blowing the trumpet of Zion for people to mount up and to mount up and to come forth
Amen.
And join the army of God to go into these hospitals, Lord. We thank you. We praise you today, Lord, that this is happening supernatural, not by might, not by power, but by the hand of the Almighty God. And this is a way that you are going to get the gospel into these people that are hanging by a thread for their life, Lord. Hold, we just call forth for the Holy Spirit to hold them together,
Amen.
Lord, until the prayer teams can get there.
Amen.
Lord, we send the angels into those hospitals
Amen.
To hold on, Lord, until we can get there to pray the glorious gospel of the healing power of God over them. Lord, we thank you and praise you that the army is mounting up. I hear the feet of an army of
yes.
God coming together
Amen.
To fulfill
Amen.
This,
Amen. Amen.
To fulfill this thing,
Amen.
Lord. This is turning the
Amen.
Way that we pray, Lord. This
Amen.
Is turning. The
thank
devil
you,
can't
Lord.
Stop the church
Amen.
Of God. We'll just go through a window that God raises up in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We thank you and praise
thank
you, Lord.
Amen. Tim, you want to give us the details one more time? And Todd,
yeah,
are you
one
out
more
there?
Time.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Todd's on the line, too. Todd, just tell them what we did this morning because they could also tune in.
Good.
Yeah, this morning we had the opportunity to be interviewed by Channel 5 News about this coming weekend. We were able to do that in front of Good Sam. That should air tomorrow night between 5 and 6.
Excellent.
So be watching. So, you know, anybody that's in the hospital, you know, anybody that's home sick,
yeah.
anybody that we can pray for, this is what we want them to do, to text the word prayer to 855-932-3081, 855-932-3081. And we are standing by. And if you want to know how to connect with our team to even come and pray down at one of these hospitals, just join us 6 to 9 p.m. At one of those hospitals, Jupiter, Gardens, Good Sam, or St. Mary's, and it looks like JFK. If you want to go pray for your own hospital, 6 to 9, wherever you are across the county, do it. Take a picture. Show us what's going on. We're going to be online across the entire network on Saturday night from 6 to 9, doing an entire event, live online event, where Doc Crandall will be in a room.